not a Sunday school or a better house. Well, it's like poking me in the handle. But how I got saved, my neighbor invited me over to a little Sunday school, and when, because other kids had been going over there on Sundays, and she saw me outside playing one Sunday after the Sunday school, so she invited me over. But without going through all of that, I ended up trusting the Lord as my Savior. And but I remember after that happened, the other Sundays, we kept going to the Sunday school, but the other Sundays afterwards, there was, I don't remember his name, but just a little, one of the kids that was going to the Sunday school, he was saved, he got saved too. But me and him would go out and sit on the ditch culvert, big old round concrete thing that was by the ditch, and we would sit on that, and we would read our Bibles. We really didn't understand what to talk about. We just wanted to learn about the Bible and about God. So we would just, so we'd read it, and we'd spend time with the Lord and together and stuff. And that was exciting. That was us, just Tim and I, spending time with God. And those were good days. But it seems like as time goes along, and your time spent with God, your desire to spend time with God sort of dwindles a little bit. It gets a little bit old sometimes, having to take time to spend with the Lord. But the world and the flesh and the devil come in and they pull us away. They pull our desires away from God, and we just don't want to spend time with God like we used to when we first got saved. But God wants us to spend time with Him. There's many places in the Bible where he shows us and tells us He wants us to spend time with Him, quality time, loving time with Him. In Jeremiah 29:30, you don't have to turn to these right now. Jeremiah 13 says, God says, "Search for me with your whole heart." James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God." 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek His face continually." And Psalms 26:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And then the last verse here doesn't really talk about spending time with Him, but it makes a point there. Jeremiah 2:32 says, "My people have forgotten me days without number." And when I read that last verse, it sort of cut me to the heart. Because there's been probably days without number when I didn't include God in my day. I didn't spend time with Him. I didn't seek His face. I didn't search for Him with my whole heart. We forgot Him. And if you'd be honest, you've probably done that through your Christian life as well. But our main reason for spending time with God is for Him to get our whole heart and our whole attention and focus back on Him and on Him. I'm going to read this real quick. We got this theme song that we sing, and the Lord had me to read this. But read this and really think about the words to what it's saying. "Focus my heart, O Lord. Fix my heart to hear your word. Pierce my heart with your Spirit's sword. Refocus my heart, O Lord." The purpose for us spending time with Him is so that He can get our whole hearts and our whole lives, and that it would be focused on Him and be loving Him. Because, I mean, after all, look at all He's done for us. Paid a great sacrifice for our redemption and for our salvation. He deserves our time. But after God gets our focus, then He can focus us on what else is important to Him. It's important to God for us to have our devotions, because there's some things that He wants to show us. There's some things that He wants us to do, and the way that He wants us to live, and just His will for us. That's the reason He wants us to have our devotions. I've got three reasons why we have to have time with God every day without fail. And number one, the first thing is souls are lost. Souls are lost and on their way to a burning hell. I read a news article of a woman that saw a terrible crash with a car and a semi. I guess you can figure out which one got the worst of it, but they may both have. But there was a terrible car crash with a semi, and both the semi, the whole semi, and the whole car were engulfed in flames. And I don't know if this woman hurt the guy in the semi or not. I don't know what happened with him. But this woman reported that she heard the guy in the car screaming, no words, just screaming in pain and terrible, horrific pain, just screaming. And nobody could do anything about it. Nobody had anything to put out the fire or whatever. And it took a long time for the fire department to get there. But this woman records that she heard this man scream for 24 minutes before he finally passed. And he was being burned to death. That's a terrible way to die. Horrific way to die. But it says he finally passed and he was silent. But the thing is, if he was lost, he went from a horrifying, burning death to a never-ending torments of a burning hell. In other words, he went from bad to worse. And not only that, after the final judgment's been placed, then he's going to even go from worse to worse again, going from burning in the hell that's now, and to being cast into the lake of fire and burning forever and ever. But so if he was lost, he's burning in the torments of hell right now. And you say, is there a hell? Well, if you believe the word of God, there's a hell. If you believe in heaven, you gotta believe in hell too, because the Bible teaches about both. And there is a real burning hell. Let's turn to the book of Mark real quick, Mark chapter 9, in your Bibles, if you're able to, or on your phones, whatever you got. Mark chapter 9, and verses 47 to 48. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus says there's a hell. There's a burning hell. And people who go there are going to burn forever. Any man that's lost without Christ as his Savior is going to burn for all eternity. That's even a worse picturing that. If you picture someone burning in hell, there's people have had pictures of it. You can look up like pictures of images of what the artist would think that a person burning in hell is like. A lot of them really, they're really gross, really terrible pictures. But I don't think it has touches the tip of what hell is really going to be like. But Jesus says there is a burning hell. Ask the rich man if there's a hell. If you believe the Bible, ask the rich man if there's a hell. He says there is a hell. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 16 real quick. Luke chapter 16. Just a couple books over. And verses 22 to 24. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's a hell. Ask the rich man, there's a real hell. And he is being tormented in a flame as we speak. It's not the worst to come. He still has worse to come than the hell there is now. But he's being tormented in the flames of hell right now. He's been burning there for over 2,000 years. And like I said, he's not even seen or felt the worst of it. After the final judgment, the rich man and everyone else that has rejected Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's what those people have to look forward to, is a lake of fire burning forever and ever and ever. Those ones that were lost and have already passed away, they've got that lake of fire to look forward to. People that are alive still on this earth, that's what they got to look to. If they're not, without Christ, they haven't trusted Him, they've rejected Him, all they have to look forward to is a place in hell. But the thing is they don't even realize it. Most of them don't even realize it. They're on their way to a burning hell and don't even know that the devil's got them so blinded. But now, compare the over 2,000 years that the rich man has been burning. Compare that, those 2,000 years, to a grain of sand. And then multiply that by the trillions and trillions of grains of sand that are on this earth. And when that time has finished, it's just begun. The burning that these people are going to have to go through, they're going to have to suffer forever and ever and ever. That when the Lord gave me that illustration of trillions of pieces of sand times 2,000, that's unbelievable. You know, I just can't imagine that they're going to be burning for all of eternity. But anyhow, they will just begun after all those many years. Don't you think we need to spend time with God and beg for the lost to be saved? We have to spend time with God, and some of that spending time with God needs to be begging for the lost to be saved, and for Him to use us to somehow lead them, somehow show them what Christ has done. But we get so callous to the lost souls around us. But the reason I think that is because we're not walking with God and spending time like we should. So we don't have that tender heart, that compassionate heart that Christ has, because we've been so blinded and calloused by the world's ideas, the world's ideology, and their way of thinking, that we've been so desensitized to the lost around us. But folks, there's still millions of lost people around us that need to be saved so they can escape that eternity of burning in hellfire. Number two, the devil is relentless in his attacks on believers and Christians. Let's look now in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is out to devour not only the lost, he wants to keep the lost because he wants to drag them to hell with him. But I think what it's talking about here is he's seeking to devour mostly the Christians, the believers that have already trusted Christ. He wants to devour their lives. He wants to devour us. He wants to ruin us, ruin our lives. And he's out to destroy yours, and the lives of everyone that you know and care about. He wants to destroy us. Not only does the devil not want us to spend time with God, he definitely does not want us to tell anyone about Jesus Christ. He wants to do everything he can to stop that. If he can stop us from having our devotions and getting a heart for souls, he's going to do that. If he wants to put something in the way of our time of doing that, he's going to do that. If he wants to he's got thousands of ways to do it. It's the same old ways he's always has. He wants to put it temptations and calls us to do our, what the preacher said this morning, our, that sin that so easily besets us. Everyone has that certain sin. If he wants to throw that in there, he can still do that. But he wants to destroy our lives. But you know what the thing is? The reason he wants to do that is because Jesus is the devil's worst enemy, because he defeated him on the cross. Jesus has already beat the devil. He just hadn't got the smarts to lay down. He's gonna fight to the very end. Jesus says of the devil in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's what Jesus said of the devil. He wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. Anything he can do to destroy our lives, to keep us from serving God, to keep us from telling other people about Jesus, that's what he's going to do. Grandchildren, the devil wants to destroy you. Ellie, Colby, you're not in here, but he wants to destroy you. Children, the devil wants to destroy you. Parents, the devil wants to destroy you. Grandparents, the devil wants to destroy you. Great-grandparents, the devil wants to destroy you. You can go on and on, on and on. Aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, he wants to destroy them. Any way that he can. Destroy their lives, destroy their testimonies, even kill them if he can. God doesn't usually let the devil kill Christians, but he can if he wants to. But the devil will do whatever he can to stop us from being a witness for the Lord. This is why he is, about the devil again, this is why he is splitting up families. It's why people don't come to church. It's why people are backslidden. It's why souls aren't being saved. It's why lives aren't being changed. It's because the devil is out destroying people, destroying us. And the devil, he's doing a good job of it. He's doing a good job of this. But the thing is, 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." The devil's out destroying people, but God still wants to repair. God still wants to do a work. And he can. But we gotta have a willing heart. We gotta have a heart that's submitted to him, that's given to him. If we spend time with the one that is greater, if we walk with the one that is greater, maybe we can see him do great things through us. That's the importance for us, walking with him, spending time with him, so we can do great things for him, so we can see lives change and people being saved and families being helped and people brought back to God again. We know family members and friends and people that are away from the Lord, that are Christians that are away from the Lord. But if we're not walking with God ourselves, if we're not spending time with him, we're not going to be any more help to them than they are to themselves. They're backslidden, and we're backslidden too. If we're not spending time with God and walking with him, we can't be a help to anyone unless we have our hearts right with God. We're spending time with him and having his help to be able to do great things. Number three, and last of all, we have to have the power of God to accomplish anything for God. Let's look at John 15 real quick. Last verse I'm going to have you look at. John 15 and verse 5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." He says, we can't. we can't do anything without him. So if that's the case, why are we living in his presence? Why are we having his Holy Spirit in us? Why are we letting him lead us and guide us? Why are we spending time with him and asking for his strength and his help? Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do in a day that I will spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Can you imagine that? Martin Luther, I'm sure, was a busy man, but he was so busy that he had to spend time with God every day for 3 hours to have enough strength and the power and wisdom to do all that he needed to get done for the Lord. If we're too busy to spend time with God, as the saying goes, we're too busy. We've got, something's got to be taken out. Something's got to be, you know, taken out of the equation to have time to make time to spend with God. Otherwise, we're never going to make a difference. We're never going to see changes. We're never going to see growth. If we ourselves don't learn to spend time with God and give him our lives, he's not going to be able to use us. He's not going to bless us. Folks, without spending time with God, getting to know him, getting his strength and his power, following his will, we can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I can do all things. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do everything. But it says, through Christ. If it's through Christ, then we have to spend time with Christ. That's the only way we're going to have the strength to be able to do it. Is spending time with him, getting his strength. We can do all things through Christ who will strengthen us. May we understand the priority we need to put on walking with our God and our Savior. Our life and the lives of everyone around us depend on our walk with him. Let's keep that in mind this week. Let's spend some more time with him. Let's make that a priority in our lives. I know how easy it is to get caught up with the things of the world and let the things of God, you know, just pass by. I'm too tired. I've got too much to do. I have to work. I have to have my sleep. I know all those excuses, okay? But we have to sacrifice some of those things so that we can have the power of God in our lives to be able to serve him, live for him, be greater, you know, be a greater, because we have a greater God working through us. So this week, let's focus on him, spend more time with him in his word and in prayer, and get to know him and really love him like we should. When we do that, he's going to show his heart to us, which is some of these things that I've mentioned today. He's shown those to me. And I hope that's been a help for you, to help you to understand that, you know, that we have to have a relationship with Christ. That's the only way we're going to make it in our Christian lives, is if we have a personal relationship with him and spend that time every day. The consistency of spending time with God is the hardest thing in the world to do as a Christian. It's the hardest thing. But we have to do it if we're going to make a difference. If we're going to make a difference for Christ, if we're going to do anything for him. Okay? So let's do that this week, and let's be a good witness and a good testimony for Christ. All right. Let's stand with our heads bowed real quick. We're going to